World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, here we are back in the saddle again. I apologize to all of you who watched yesterday and saw my face clear down here where you couldn't see my mouth. I guess I was being weighted down with some sins and some stuff so easily trapped me down. So I'm going to sit up higher today. Jared tried to warn me yesterday, Coach, you're down too low. I got this crazy thing. I want to see my hat, but I only got a very small screen. Now, if I got clear back here, is this better? Or do you want me to be looking you eyeball to eyeball?
Eyeball.
Eyeball to eyeball. You like that eyeball look? I do too, Rich.
Yeah, there you go.
So if my mouth gets down too far, I'll apologize. Wasn't doing that on purpose. Listen, I got a bounce in my step this morning. Those of you who watched yesterday, I don't want to replay all that stuff from yesterday. But, you know, the Bible says that, maybe it's not the Bible, maybe it was Shakespeare. Somebody said that, I've just lost it. But hope cometh in the morning. Hope cometh in the morning. And so we walked through something yesterday, Michelle and I did, and we're still walking through. Don't get me wrong, but I gotta tell you. We say this. Welcome there, Michael. New one there. We say this, but we don't understand it. Raise your hand if you know what I mean when I say this. Somewhere about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock yesterday, that thing lifted off of us. You know what that means? You guys know what I'm talking about? See, there is a thing that lays on us. Spiritual oppression. I want to talk about that. If I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. Guys, listen, it's real. It is so real. Spiritual oppression. And oppression is different than possession. Those are not the same. They're not the same. When Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, he's not talking so much about possession, although that's real. I need a shave. He's talking about oppression, which we all go through daily. And you guys know when you're under it. You know when you know it. And sometimes you reach a point where you can't get yourself out from under it. It's like driving through the fog. You know at some point the fog's going to lift, and you know it's the fog, and you know it isn't good, but you can't get out from under it. Amen? Amen? You know it. You know when you feel it. You know when you feel this depression come on you. You know when you feel this fear come on you. You know when this fatigue comes on you. And you know it's not normal, but you can't get out from under it. That's spiritual oppression.
Hey, Coach, excuse me.
Yes.
You've been so excited about getting onto the show today, we forgot to pray.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. You want to pray, Serge?
No, go ahead.
Good, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've made. Rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We thank you for the prayers of the saints, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the prayers of the saints. We just pray that every heart listening to this will be touched and will be radically transformed and changed through the power of Jesus Christ. Behold, all things become new. That's what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, thanks, Serge. So we were under unbelievable oppression yesterday. And guys, we have to begin to recognize it. We have to. Our lives will become easier if we understand what we're under. Okay? And I'm getting to the point now where I begin to recognize it. And can I tell you this? Sometimes the only way out of it is others. Sometimes, you ever got a big old blanket? Maybe you took your big blanket out, you washed it, and you and your wife took it out and you laid it out on the on the porch, or you laid it out on something that would dry it, that would the sun could come and dry it. And then when you go out to get it, you say, "Hey, honey, you come here and help me lift this thing up." That's that spiritual oppression, that spiritual blanket that falls over the top of us. Now, we can see a devil behind every corner if we want to, behind every tree. You can live your life like that. But guys, the truth of the matter is, it's spiritual oppression. Now, I was talking yesterday about friendship and all that kind of stuff, and who my real friends are. And I said to my wife, or my wife said to me, however, we talked to each other. Sometimes I feel it's like my brain, you know what I'm saying? And she said to me, "Honey," she said, "do you have any idea how many men you have that care about you?" And I hadn't really stopped and thought about it. She said, no, she said, "I'm talking about men who really care about you." She said, there's some guys on that show of yours, they would drive here if you needed them. They would drive here. And she said, "You know what else? I look around at some of our Christian friends. They won't drive here." Man, that's like a dart right through my heart. That's the truth, right? Wow, was that eye-opening? And so I was really blessed yesterday when during the show, I want you to hear something. I don't know if I can put this up here real good. I got this. Are you guys ready? Let's see if I can make this thing work.
Hey, Coach, it's Robert Sellers. Brother, give me a call if you need me. I'll clock out of work, and I'll head towards your way. Just give me the word. I don't know what's going on, but I know you're my brother, and if you need me, you give me a call. I'll have my phone with me and have it on. I'm praying for you, Rich, Larry, Roger, Steven. Oh, Lord, Jared. If you need me, you call me. God bless you. Amen.
Is that Amen. Unbelievable? Is that unbelievable?
Amen.
And you know what? He would have. He would have come. But there's a problem. He'd have hit head on into Rich. They both were coming. I can't tell you what that means. But even more so than that, people we don't even see on this queue began to pray, and that oppression, they helped lift that blanket. Michelle even mentioned it. Boy, that's gone. That's gone. So I can't explain how it works, but it shows us this, fellas, our need for one another. Our need for one another. And what the devil wants to do more than anything, I even hate to use that term devil, because it's not always the devil. It's a spiritual battle that's raging around us, right? And sometimes those coyotes out there, those spiritual demonic coyotes out there, sometimes they get you hemmed in. And when they get you hemmed in, they call some of their buddies. And so now you're surrounded by a bunch of these wolves, and you don't feel like there's any way out. And the only way you can get out of it is Rich brings a weapon, and JR brings a weapon, and Roger brings a weapon, and Robert brings a weapon, and get him, and all of a sudden, let's get that thing off of him. We don't understand how important that is. And so it lifted off of us. The problem has not gone away, but the oppression has gone away. So I just want to acknowledge that. I want to thank all of you, and there's something special in this group here. They can call us a cult if they want to. They call whatever the hell they want to call us. There's something special going on. And what happened even yesterday is I really found out that some of my best friends weren't even really my best friends. Isn't that something? Now, I'm still friends with them. Don't get me wrong. I'm still friends with them. But now I know. I know. I'll pray for you, brother. Will you? Okay, good. Will you come here and help me? I don't know. Because, hey, we're supposed to love our brother how? As ourselves. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? That is a tough one. So, Robert, you blessed me. You really, really blessed me yesterday, Robert. Turn your microphone on, brother. and just let us hear your heart here. Robert's from clear down around someplace down in Georgia.
Well, I just feel a special bond with you fellas. And, you know, the Bible keeps talking, God does, about his remnant who won't bend a knee, who's in the shadows waiting for God to blow the trumpet. And that's the way I feel about each one of you. I'm just part of a gear, the little notch on the gear, and it takes all of the little teeth on the gear to make the thing work right. And hell, I ain't rich and I ain't smart. I'm big, so I can stand shoulder to shoulder, and I can keep pushing forward.
You can street preach, Robert. You can street preach.
Well, not me, Coach. That's the Holy Spirit.
We heard that. We heard that, didn't we, Serge?
But you know, Coach.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Everybody's not on the same spiritual level. I tell Trey at work all the time, and people are afraid. And the Word tells us that in the midst of the enemy, we can be right in the middle, and there can be 1,000 enemies around us. And because we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can go to sleep and sleep like a baby.
David,
and you have to go through trials to get to that point.
No, buddy.
And my family has gone through some trials that only God has gotten us through them. And I know that, and I won't deny him or a brother and sister if I'm breathing.
Amen, Robert.
Amen. Amen. My sister told my wife yesterday that the only don't miss this. This is going to be the best nugget of the day. Compassion is birthed from oppression. You cannot feel what somebody else feels until you felt it. And if I would say to you, hey, listen, I got a kidney stone, how many of you would go, oh, because you've had one? The rest of you would just kind of look at me and think, oh, okay. No, I'm telling you, I've really got one. And those of us who've had them would say, oh, Coach, I feel so bad for you. Well, that's the way with many things in our lives, see. Say, oh, Coach, I feel bad for you. I'll call you after I'm through golfing. And then there's somebody says, oh, I know what that feels like. Coach, I'm going to call off my golf match. There's a difference in those two things, see. Compassion is birthed out of oppression. So once you've been through it, once you've felt it, you understand what it's like. And if you really love your brother, you don't want him to go through that. You don't want. I got several calls yesterday. It's amazing the reach of this thing. Messages I didn't get back from. I heard from Serge and Rich, and I heard from a lot of guys. Rusty Thomas. God bless Rusty Thomas, Operation Save America. He called me. I was on the phone for probably, I don't know, quite a while with him. I heard from John Pride. I heard from Roger. I mean, guys, it matters. Remember I talked about encouraging the encourager? And sometimes all you can do is call somebody and say, you know, I don't really know. Coach, I don't much I can do. Just want you to know I'm thinking about you and I'm lifting you up, brother. And then sometimes that's all matters. Robert, your phone call lifted my spirit. You lifted my spirit. Rich, when you emailed to me, you lifted my spirit. And so one of the things we have to be cognizant of is those of us who, we men, we like to believe that we can carry the burden by ourselves, and we don't often reach out and let it know that, like I told Rusty yesterday, man, I was wounded. Whew. I could be freaking, what was his name? Sylvester Stallone. What was that dude he played? Rambo. I could be Rambo and be wounded. Right? So we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that in our brothers and the need for each other. So God bless all you guys. God bless all of you. I'm in Ecclesiastes. You can turn there. I want to hear, anybody else want to weigh in? I want to read a little bit here in Ecclesiastes, and then I want to talk some more about this oppression stuff.
Hey, Coach.
Yes?
I was just going to give you that Shakespeare quote.
Okay.
It's found in Psalms 30, verse 5.
Well, Shakespeare was a Christian, I heard.
Well, okay. For anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night.
There you are.
Joy comes in the morning.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. In other words, how you doing, Coach? He'd ask me. I said, well, I'm either up or getting up. Not sure which. But I'm in the process of, I'm either up or I'm getting ready to get up. I'm fighting this thing, getting back in it. So we're, Michelle and I are back in the game today, and not without any lack of support from all of you guys. By the way, I'm going to ask Pastor Wayne, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer here, Wayne. Jared's grandfather is in surgery right now. You guys know Mike's dad, who's on the air with us, joins us on the queue. Ed had to go undergo emergency surgery last night. Can you fill us in on that a little bit, Jared?
Yeah. He did surgery, got out of surgery at about midnight last night, and it went really well. I think pretty much as good as it could have gone. And so he's recovering, and then mom and dad will be here at 11, and so the whole family will be able to go over there and see it.
He's 82 years old, and he had a blockage or a knot or something in his intestines or down in his bowel. So he had to, at 82 years old, had to go undergo some emergency surgery last night. And Pastor Wayne, because you're the professional Christian here, I thought maybe you could pray for Ed. Maybe you don't even know Ed, but pray for Mike and Polly, who are traveling. Mike was going to go to Alabama as well, but he and his wife jumped in the car, and they're making an emergency trip back to get home as quickly as they can, because Ed is up near where Jared is. Ed's been down in Florida, but he happens to be up, and so he wasn't even really at his house, at his home, when this whole thing happened. So Pastor Wayne, if you could maybe just lift that up, take that to the Lord for us. Let's help lift that blanket up.
Father, we come to you right now, and we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of being able to do it. And right now, we just lift up this brother to you. Even though we don't have to know him, you know him. And we just pray that you'd surround him with your goodness, the doctors or nurses or medicine or miracles. We don't care how you work, Lord. We just know you do, and we thank you for it in advance. For those traveling, for Brother Mike and them, we just pray that you would just surround them with your goodness and give them a peace in your heart that you're in control, and we love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I know this. Ed's 82 years old. You guys know, most of you know who Ed is. And this program is really having an impact on Ed, really having an impact on him. And to think, remember this, guys, you are ageless inside. You're ageless. From the moment you are born to the moment you die, you don't age. You change and you grow, but you don't age. You don't get older. In this heavenly realm that we're heading to, I tried to explain this to my son the other night. In this heavenly realm into which we're living, there is no time. They ask a question, well, who created God? I said, well, it doesn't matter. He says, what do you mean doesn't matter? I said, because there's no beginning and end in time. Outside of time, there's no beginning and end. See, we always want to know who created God because we don't understand. We only understand time. We don't understand rules and laws and all that. We don't understand all that outside this natural realm we're in. So everything we try to prove here in this natural realm, we can't prove it because it's a principle that doesn't apply here. And so we sit here and think, well, there's got to be a beginning and there's got to be an end. Well, if there's time, but what if there's a place where there's no time? And so we have a hard time figuring that out. And so we always want to try to apply earthly principles to spiritual issues. And you can't. You can't. Dr. Hovind opened my eyes to that, JR. Dr. Hovind said this to me. I said, hey, Kent, why didn't the Lord make some of these things more obvious? Huh? Why is some of this stuff so hard? Why couldn't he just give us proof? He says, well, two reasons. He says, number one, he didn't want us to know it. Or number two, we're incapable of understanding it. And because we're incapable of understanding it, he didn't even bother us with it. Did you ever say that to your kids? I'll explain to you later. I'll explain it to you later. And that's the way things are in that heavenly realm, that spiritual realm. Hey, Lord, what's this all about? I'll explain it to you later. In fact, doesn't the word say that? That right now we see dimly as if through a veil? Isn't that what it says? But we will see at some point that veil is going to remove, and then you're going to see, and then you're going to understand. And he said, we don't know anything. All we do know is this, that when that whole thing's done, what are we going to be like, Wayne? We're going to be like him. Huh? So don't worry about it now. When the whole thing, when whole change comes, you're going to be like him. Whatever that means. That's good. That should be a great encouragement to us. Because again, think about it. Let me camp on this a second. There are some things when your children, my grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. God, what a blessing grandkids are. When I was with my grandkids last night, and my little granddaughter asked me a question that I knew was deeper than she could understand. So I just gave her a little tidbit that satisfied her. Didn't explain it, but it satisfied her little brain that it was okay. So that's what the Lord says to you. Says, here, this, but don't worry about it. You'll understand later on. That's what it means to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Because if we understand the nature of God, you who are a evil dude. Bible says if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Right? How much more? So that's what it means to walk by faith. Not that I see so many smart people who can't come to the knowledge of the truth because they need the proof. And if they got, by the way, it says in Romans 1, they already see it. It's plainly visible. It's right there in front of them, it says in Romans 1. They see it. But they're always looking to know a little bit more and more and more. And the Lord says, listen, you don't need to know that. Don't need to know that. Just trust me. Just trust me. Well, can you prove God? Nah, I don't have to prove it. You'll know. We'll all know someday. It's all right. Trust me. I've never seen gravity. In fact, let me jump on that real quick. You know there's a real move out there talking about a flat earth. Are you guys following that at all? Google it. This ain't crazy stuff. This isn't tinfoil hat stuff. They said that we've been lied to by NASA and everybody that really the earth is flat. And think about this one. That gravity, this whole idea of gravity, they know gravity. I'm not endorsing this. There isn't any gravity. The phone's heavier in the air. That's all it is. The air can't hold the phone up. It ain't gravity. Fascinating, isn't it? Fascinating, the things we don't know. That's why I told you to turn to Ecclesiastes today, which I didn't even know I was going to go there, but the Lord flipped it open. Wow. Let's just rest in this today. Let's just rest in this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Who's wrote Ecclesiastes? Pastor Wayne, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Can't hear you, but I read your lips.
Yeah, Solomon.
Solomon, the son of David, right? The son of David. Preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote this. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In other words, everything you see, it ain't even worth it. It ain't even worth it. What's a profit a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. So I go out and earn $1 million and I die and I leave the money to my son and he makes it $2 million and he leaves it to his son, vanity, vanity. What does it matter? What does it matter? The sun also rises and the sun goes down and it hasteth to its place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again to his circuits. And all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is never full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. The water always just cycles back around. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied. Oh, Jared, you got up on the screen that way I can look up at you. The thing that has been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. It's all just repackaged. Donald Trump and Hillary, go back and read Judges and Kings. This has happened before. Nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Is that that is so stinking deep. Go to chapter 2, Jared, real quick. I want to piggyback on top of this, of Ecclesiastes. This is all good. If you ever you want to get encouraged in your heart, just read Common Sense Ecclesiastes. Just read that. Don't read Your Best Life Now or Purpose Driven Life. No. Just open up Ecclesiastes because, listen, there ain't nothing new under the sun. Everything everybody's writing is new books out. No, come on.
Dave.
Come on. Yeah.
Before you move into Ecclesiastes, I used to represent a guy who ran a Christian bookstore here locally, and I was always amazed because people would go, and there were books on everything from every Christian writer under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have this most simple thinking, well, you know, why don't they just buy the Bible and read it?
Because there's nothing new.
And ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten them as they read it.
Amen, brother. Oh, let's go to chapter 2 real quickly. I said in my heart, go now, and I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, that's also vanity. Happiness, sadness, it's all vanity. It's all just part of the journey. I said of laughter, it's crazy. It's mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom. Wow. To lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their lives. Gave up trivial things. Now watch this. Solomon. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered also silver and gold and Trump Tower, and procured treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and all that kind of junk. So I was great. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from him. Think about that. Whatever he saw, he went and got. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labors, and this was my portion of all my labor. But then I looked on all those works that my hands had wrought, on all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, it was nothing. It was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath done. I'm sorry. Even that which hath been already done. Nothing new. Trump's not the first rich guy. And then I saw that wisdom was better than folly. It excels folly as far as light is from darkness. And this wise man's eyes are in his head. But the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it has happened to me. Happened to them all. So it happened even unto me. And why was I then no more wise? And I said in my heart, that's also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. And seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And what dieth the wise man? And how dieth the wise man? Same way as the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So it's not that we're not supposed to work and obtain things and possess things. But Solomon's telling us, first of all, you ain't the first guy to have done it. Quit thinking you're some big cheese. And number two, there ain't any real satisfaction in that. Because that poor guy down living in the homeless shelter, and you are going to make the same fate. And you ain't going to go to the Lord with all of your money and buy your way into heaven. You ain't going to get a nicer mansion just because you're a rich boy. And if we can understand that, pursue wisdom, make wisdom your bride, that's what we're after. That's a good word, isn't it, fellas? Isn't that a good word? And so what we're seeing going on in America is nothing new. It's like you hear Michael Savage say that Islam is just Hitler in a headscarf. Islam is Hitler in a headscarf. In other words, it's that same spirit, just over and over and over replaying. See, we see it and we talk about it, but we really don't understand it. All right, let me hear from you there real quick. Quickly.
Amen, Coach.
Michael, you're new to the crew. Let us know who you are there, Chief. Where are you coming from? You got to hit that little microphone on your screen. There you are.
Can you hear me now?
We got you, buddy. Yes. Welcome.
Well, I'm here in Tacoma, Washington.
What time is it?
4:30.
Hey, Zeke, you fool. No, you wise man. You wise man.
That's right. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
God woke me up, not me.
Amen.
I've been trying to get on now for about 2 weeks. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. I'm not a computer whiz, so finally went to another browser, and the thing just worked. And well, here I am.
How'd you find out?
I'm also the one that has put stuff on your Facebook page under Mike Ortega, and I've also emailed you a couple of times.
You have. How'd you find out about us, Mike?
I guess because I root around. I like to study and research things, and I think I came across you on YouTube first, and then I knew what time you came on, and so whenever I wake up and am early in the morning, I'll turn it on and watch you. But like I said, I always wanted to join and. Because I love what's going on.
And like being a man.
Well, I am one.
Well, welcome.
I've been around, and I, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've been through myself. And when I hear you and the others say things about what they're going through, I can, you know, identify with that. And I keep you guys all up in prayer.
Amen. We're glad you got in here, Mike.
I am too. God bless.
Now when I see those posts on Facebook and email, I know what I love to put a face with it. Now you're real. Right. Now you're not just a Facebook friend.
Right.
Now you're really a friend. I want to take a minute. We were having a discussion before we went on, and I try to set up a program every day, what we're going to cover, and I send Jared the links, and Jared can verify that I got the links there, stuff we're going to talk about today. But as I was coming down here this morning, I have to walk down my steps down in here in my little area down here. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I think it was the Holy Spirit. Somebody said something to me. Maybe it was a mouse over in the corner. But anyway, I heard somebody say, the men will be the show. The men will be the show. The men will be the show. It's good, isn't it? It's good. And what I came to understand, Jared, you want to say something, Jared?
Well, yeah,
you want to be the show?
Well, this is the question that started the discussion this morning, and it's because my grandfather is in the hospital. It doesn't bother me at all that he could die. It doesn't bother me at all. Mm. And that bothers me, that it doesn't bother me. And I feel like I have no compassion or very little compassion or empathy. It's just not there. And that was the kind of the question. And as you went through the show, you dropped little nuggets that made it a little clearer, but and that's what I'm.
Well, first of all, you can't work it up, can you? You either have it or you don't. Right? It's like faith. You can't work up faith. The Bible says faith cometh. Doesn't it, Pastor Wayne? Isn't that what it says? Faith cometh. Compassion cometh. Right? Now, hey, Jared, you could fake it. Should you fake it? Should you fake your compassion? Should you fake your caring? I suppose sometimes we should. By the way, let me camp right there a second. I don't think it's a sin to lie. Oh, I hear those religious folks. Remember, God's laws are protective. And the reason God doesn't want us to lie is because doesn't want us to hurt other people. Now wait. If you look at the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. Let's go there real quick. I don't want you to think I'm lying. Is it 12? Exodus 12? Is that what it is, Pastor Wayne? It's Exodus 12, 20, isn't it? 12.
Exodus 20.
Exodus 20. There it is. Okay, look. The commandments are there. We can do a show on the commandments. I want to point something out to you. Exodus 20, verse 16. Now, Roger, this will be tough for you because this is in a manly Bible. This isn't in a little girl's Bible, okay? Here's what it says. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, what does that mean? If God's laws are protective and he's trying to protect everybody, why would he tell us, don't bear false witness against your neighbor? Why would he tell us that? Because he wants us to protect our neighbor. He loves the neighbor, right? So if my wife comes walking down the steps, she says, honey, do I look fat in this outfit? Is it a sin if I say, oh, honey, you look beautiful, but she looks fat? Or did I bear false witness to protect my neighbor? Now, I'm not talking about being disingenuous. I'm not talking, you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? This is so against everything we've been taught. Sometimes not telling the truth is a good thing. If it's protective. Daddy, I was in church today, and they told me there that there isn't a Santa Claus. Now, we don't teach our children a Santa Claus. But you come to a point where you have to say, well, do I tell the truth here? Daddy, hey, Jared, this would be you if you were 3 years old. Daddy, is Grandpa going to die? What might you say to your three-year-old? No, honey, Grandpa's going to be okay, and if not, he'll be with Jesus. Whatever. So the idea that we lie is a sin, I don't... That might be as bad as saying I'm voting for Trump. That may get as many people upset there. But I really believe that. I don't see... I'm not talking about flattery, and I'm not talking about being disingenuous. I'm talking about loving my neighbor sometimes to not say the truth. Anybody want to argue or anybody want to amen or argue that with me?
I don't know if I can.
Hey, Coach.
I don't think I can agree.
If we are believers in Christ and we are believers that this is just middle school, I've lost my mother and father in the last 6 years. They're in a better place. Mm-hmm. They have graduated. Doesn't the word says, let the dead bury the dead?
Yes, it does.
We are supposed to be celebrating that transition.
Right.
I tell people every day, if I die tomorrow, don't weep for me because I've won. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I would weep because I'd miss you. I wouldn't weep because you went to heaven.
But we have that mindset backwards. Jared still seems conflicted here.
Well, just concerning the honesty perspective, the whole premise of this entire ideal is speaking the truth, even when people don't want to hear it.
But the truth is also protective. Would you tell your mom she looks fat?
If I thought she looked fat, I would question myself first, saying, why am I so concerned with her physical appearance? And number two, I would then say, yeah.
What about Rahab? What did Rahab do, Pastor Wayne? You smart enough in the Bible to explain what Rahab did?
Well, she kind of lied, protecting the spies. I think Abraham did the same thing about his wife/sister loophole, but he was protecting her.
Protecting
himself.
I think, Jared, I think that is the balance of the Holy Spirit, that you have to understand when your words will bring correction and improvement and when they'll bring condemnation and conviction.
Amen.
But remember, Jared don't have compassion.
So. Yeah, he already busted himself out on that.
He tells the truth, and don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm probably going to get some emails. I'll get all types of – I'll forward them to you and let you all read them. Right? You get what I'm saying? I don't know how we got on that. I don't even know how we got on that.
Coach, I'd like to say one thing.
Okay, Michael.
I think your example of saying that to your wife or whoever is asking you a question like that, it really depends on your relationship and how deep you are in being honest with one another.
That's true.
I've been in a similar situation, and I told the person, no, that shirt, you shouldn't wear that because your arms need a little help.
right.
And it's because they love honesty. Then you can reveal the whole truth. And that's, that's the way I see that. And some people can't take the truth at that moment. So you have to just hold your tongue and try to do the best you can and being honest with yourself so that you can be honest with them.
So I would say this, Michael, which is what you just said, and Jared, what you would say, is I might, when I get back home at night, I might say to my wife, you know, honey, I think you got nicer stuff to wear than that thing. I can think of stuff that you look better in.
There you go, right.
But if the truth is she's fat.
No, she asked me if she looked fat. She asked me if she looked fat.
Right. You'd speak the truth. Say, look, you're not fat. Does that shirt make you look fat? No, you're not fat.
Jared, it depends on the question, because sometimes I will say to her, how do I look in this? And she says, it makes your belly look bigger. That's a different way of asking the question, isn't it? That's a different way of asking, do I look fat? No, you look great. How does this shirt look on me? Oh, it makes your belly look bigger. So it's a matter of how the question's asked, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think out of love and out of protection, you have to determine when the truth is edifying and when it's needed for correction. That's what I would say.
Hey, Coach.
I don't flatter. I speak the truth, but also I'm not going to say something to hurt somebody's. I'm not going to hurt somebody's feelings unnecessarily. Yes, sir.
Coach. Somebody snoring?
Yeah. I hope it's a snore, not something else.
It can't be. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're talking the way you're talking, or talking about what you're talking about, because tomorrow on BJ's show, he's going to talk about what Protestant Christians do best, and that's denominate. Mm. We can divide over anything.
That's right. And it doesn't please the Lord, for sure. It does.
10 a.m. tomorrow. Last call, BJ Edwards.
10 a.m., last call. Jared's still flummoxed.
Well, it's the question of, you're not really lying. You're not saying it's okay to lie. It's merely, I can agree with your keep your mouth shut.
I'm loving. You're like, I'm loving. That's what I'm doing. I ask myself, is this, by the way, this is just kind of a, do I look fat? In the scheme of things, what is it? What is that really? And so I decide, is this going to edify my wife, or is this, do I really need to say the truth here? And so I'm going to say, honey, you look beautiful. Because she might look fat, but she does look beautiful. Right? So figure out how to, I'm never saying hide the truth. I'm saying figure out a way to say something that's true that doesn't really answer the question. That's what politicians do, I guess, right?
I think to bear false witness would be to purposely say something to hurt somebody that's not true. And so I don't think you're encouraging people to lie.
There you go. That's right. No, you're not.
You're encouraging people not to hurt people.
Not to hurt
people. Bear false witness would hurt people purposely, and you're purposely not trying to hurt people.
Did you guys see, remember the Schindler's List? In that movie Schindler's List, when those little boys are standing there, and one guy was in trouble because he'd stolen something or whatever, and the commandant's got the gun, he's going to shoot the next kid, and he says, which one's Michael? Which one's Michael? And in unison, they all raise their hands, said, I'm Michael. Do you remember that scene? That's perfect illustration. Because it's protective. Well, I don't want to get bogged down on this. Jared, I'll get you some therapy later on. We'll work through this with you, buddy. Where was I? Oh, I know where I was. Man, I wanted a little bit more time. Hey, Rich, give us a 2-minute, 1 minute of who you are, Rich.
I'm a big guy.
He is big.
I love and care about people. Truth is important to me. You know, I got a Bible that is full of a lot of words, truths. And I get on the internet, on Facebook, and people banner back and forth those truths. And I understand that. But my truth is, Jesus commanded me to pick up my cross and follow him. And somebody posted a picture of Christ on his hands and knees with the cross on him yesterday, and it said, would you help Jesus up? You know, say yes or whatever. And what I know for sure is that cross gets so heavy sometimes that why thousands of people are standing watching, there may be one guy that'll come out help. And I know that's the truth. I know you guys are some of those guys. And my cross isn't that heavy yet. It's pretty heavy. But I also know that the truth is going to get so heavy that I can't carry it alone. And I know you'll be there for me.
You know, guys, our heaviest crosses, in my mind, have to do with relationships. Those are the crosses that are the heaviest. People that we love and things that we see going on in there. That's what I talked about yesterday about, there's a lot of destruction and wounding around us. We deal with it all the time. We deal with it all the time. Lord, we just lift up our brother Rich to you right now, Lord Jesus. And you told us to bear one another's burdens. And just right now, Lord, we come and we drop what we have and we come over and we pick up our brother's arms and we lift his brother's, this big brother. We lift this big giant of a man. We lift his arms up, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you would be there and you strengthen him, that you would show us what it is that you would have us to do. Help us not let him carry this cross alone. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You know, I said that yesterday. If I gave us all a chance to start talking about it, this is what it would turn into. It is, because we're all carrying such burdens, really.
Carrying burdens of children. Broken relationships. When you all agree that that's your greatest heartache is broken relationships in your life, you look around, just broken relationships. And it's not like you can get away from them. You can pick up and you can move to South America, and that broken relationship remains on your mind. There's a spiritual bond there with our friends. And those grieve us the most. Hey, JR, tough act to follow. Just give us a little bit there, bud.
Talk about personal?
Yeah, or just something about you.
Well, wow. I haven't always been a Christian. It's caused me problems. For every action, there's a reaction. And I've got a couple granddaughters that I've never seen, teenagers from a previous marriage. I've got millennial children. I don't want to. It's difficult for me to try to keep these things in.
I want people to see, JR, I want people to see that we're real people with real problems, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't some phony group of guys. And even though we can come on here and we can put a big smile on our face, the truth is that everybody's carrying something.
Yep.
We like to act like we're not, but we are. And it just means a lot to each of us that you're not carrying it alone. Serge, let's jump to you a minute there, bud. Where are you from, Serge?
Buffalo, New York.
All right. Just give us a quick commercial there, Serge. Hey guys, do you feel the weight our brothers are carrying? And you can go to church every Sunday, and for the most part, a man is never able to share that weight with anybody else. Sad. Sad. Go ahead, Serge.
I'm sorry, Coach. I can't.
Oh, it's that, man. That's cool. You don't want to do it? That's okay.
I can't even talk.
All right. Steve, give us a little bit about you, bud.
Well, let me just say, this is what the church should be. I've listened to the program, been involved in, and I can say that in my own life, men are not allowed to express themselves in the church. We're supposed to just carry and carry and act like we're not human.
That's right.
We're human beings. In the flow of who God is, in our lives, here and abroad, in this group and abroad, God wants to do a ministering work by His Spirit. What you said, Coach, about when you felt that lift, that experience is because we have been in tune with God, in truth, doing what we're taught to do in terms of coming together and lifting up our brother.
Amen.
I don't even know any one of you, but I'm telling you, my heart is connected to each one of you. Because when you speak, that spirit bears witness.
Amen.
And I, you know, I'm dealing with relational things in my life. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. But every time I just feel this welling of God's presence when I'm here and when I'm with you guys, because we're edifying the name of Christ. And when we do that, He draws us together.
Thank you,
Lord.
And
He shows that is what love is. Love is hard. But that love flows deeper than what we can understand. Mm-hmm. And it just, the hurt that we all feel when we carry. But as men, we're supposed to act like we're tough.
Yep.
We don't cry. How many times have you heard when you were younger, men don't cry? I used to hear that. I grew up under that. Mm-hmm. And when the Holy Spirit breaks you, and then the weight of the world breaks you, and you feel this, you say, man, I'm a real person. And I think we've been conditioned to act like we're not real people.
Amen, Steve.
Anyway, I just thank God for each one of you, and I thank him that we're here, because what he's doing, and he's going to do a work, as we cry out and say, look, we need help. Just like you mentioned, Coach, how many people were to your aid, not because they want to be noticed, but because the love of God is operating the way it should.
Amen, brother. Boy, is that That's good. Amen, amen, amen. Let me, I look down. I want to do more of this. I don't want to turn this into a promise keeper hug. This is important, right? This is important because we're all carrying weights. Give you an example, a personal example here. I got about 5 minutes. I have a brother who only has one arm. He's 2 years older than me. Lost it in a car accident when he's 7 months old. Parents didn't even know he had the car. That's a joke. Family's in a car accident, cost him his arm. Lived his whole life with one arm. Played sports, did everything. But I didn't even know it because as a young guy, I was 2 years younger than him. That was just him. He just had one arm. And everybody began to identify him, called him Stubby. They gave him nicknames about his one arm. And everybody just acknowledging what everybody saw. He was handicapped. He had one arm. He'd walk into a room. Every eye would turn and look, because you don't see guys like that very often. And people would come up, what happened to your arm? And he would get really defensive and lived his whole life like that. He's 60, what is he, 65 years old. He still only has one arm. And you know what's crazy, guys? We all only have one arm, too. Everybody sees it. We just don't think they do. We're all walking with a limp. We think nobody notices. But they do. And rather than us saying, man, oh, man, can I help you? I'm noticing that you're limping today. Can I help you? We withdraw. We allow men to have to carry that all by themselves rather than saying, hey, I'm not busy today, Coach. I'll drive all the way from Atlanta. I'll come up and I'll help you. I'll help pick you up. Hey, Coach, I'll drive all the way from Granite City, Illinois. I can do that, Coach. I'll help you. I'll help you carry that thing. And until you build that kind of relationship, see, you can't do that in church, guys. You cannot build. Church is not designed to build a relationship like that, unfortunately. And as a result, that's why we see so many disappointed people in church. Anybody that's played sports is going to appreciate what I'm about to say here. I know this from my coaching experiences and the teams that I coached. I always feel bad when a kid graduates as a senior when he played football for us because I knew that the rest of his life he would be looking to find a group of men that he's leaving. The rest of his life, he's going to be looking for a team he can be plugged into and be part of and he can trust and have a common goal. And it isn't anywhere. It just isn't anywhere. And when we get to the point where we are totally dependent not only upon the Lord but upon our brothers, then we're a body, man. Then we are a functioning body. And until we get that, that point, we're just parts. We're just AutoZone, man. We're just used parts. Until we get to the point where we're assembled together. And Scripture says even more as we see that day approaching. So, you know, it's apropos what Flip said about me, and I'm not saying about me, but I thought it's just apropos to have a big heart and alligator skin. I think most men like to show their alligator skin and then ignore that big heart, right? I think it's good to have both. You need both, especially if you have a big heart. You better have tough hide because, man, oh, man, oh, man, you're going to get poked a lot because it matters to you. Especially if you have a big heart. So John Pride's joining us just as we're getting ready to leave. Because man, John, I'll close us out here, John.
Why don't I close? Can I pray? I'll just pray. Lord, we just come before you in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we just give you thanks for brotherhood.
You went mute. Oops. One more time. There. That went mute on you, John. I don't know what happened, man. We heard you good. Well, Lord, we do thank you for brotherhood. We thank you, Lord, that we are one body and many members. We thank you that you're the head, we're the body. We thank you that government rests upon your shoulders. Thank you for these men here. I thank you for their honesty, Lord. I thank you for their transparency, Lord. And I thank you for their love of the brethren. And we just thank you for what we know you're doing in the heart of each and every one of us. Bring more, Lord. Bring us more brothers, band of brothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know what happened, John. I don't know. See y'all tomorrow. No, tomorrow's Saturday.
You can listen to BJ.
Listen to BJ at 10 o'clock tomorrow. He'll carry the water for us tomorrow.
Same number.
Hey, listen, I'm going to shave, too. I'll shave tomorrow. See me Monday. I'll be clean shaven. God bless y'all. Thanks for joining us.